Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As we continue to study from the book of Romans, and now in the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 13, in the first part of the fourth chapter, Paul is shown how that Abraham was saved in a similar fashion by which we are saved today. Abraham was justified by a system of faith. He believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But his faith was a certain kind. It was a faith that led him to obey what God had told him to do. His faith would have been no value whatsoever to him if he had not obeyed what God had said for him to do. He would not have been justified in his disobedience. And Paul continues to talk about Abraham and the way that Abraham was justified. He says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Now, the promise that he's talking about was when God called Abraham to leave the Ur of Chaldees and to go to the land that God would show him. And God made some great promises unto Abraham. We read about these in Genesis chapter 12 and 18 and 22. He told Abraham he would be the father of a great nation. He said his descendants would be beyond number. And he promised God's watch care over him by blessing those that blessed him and cursing those that cursed him. And by his descendants, would be given a land that could be their own, and that, of course, proved to be the land of Canaan. But the one great promise that involved the whole world was the one concerning the seed through whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. God promised Abraham that one of his descendants would be the cause of blessing for everyone. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3 and verse 16 said this referred to the coming of Christ. So Christ was the promise that was so great unto Abraham. And Abraham, he became the heir of these things through his faith. He said in verse 14, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect." The promise to Abraham, the fulfillment of these promises, it was not because of the law of Moses. The promises to Abraham were given a long time before the law of Moses became a reality. "But because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." Now, we know that the people from Adam all the way up to Noah, they sinned. And we don't know exactly what the law was, but they sinned. And because it is said they sinned, we know they lived under a law. But now Abraham was justified not through the law of Moses and not through circumcision, but by his faith. The way that Abraham received these promises and these promises were made, it was of faith, verse 16, that it might be by grace. God didn't owe these promises to Abraham. He didn't owe them to the descendants of Abraham. It was by the unmerited favor and love and mercy of God that he extended these promises to Abraham. And what was the purpose? "To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law," in other words, not just to the Jew, "but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all." Yes, Abraham is the father of the faithful. As verse 17 says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations." Well, what does that mean? As far as Abraham was concerned, there were people of many nations. that came to be blessed by the descendant of Abraham that God promised would come. And he says, continuing in verse 17, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now this has particular emphasis upon the fact that at the time God made these promises to Abraham, Abraham was well up in years. He was past the time of being able to have an heir. He had no children. He had no descendants at all. And yet he was going to be the father of a great nation. But Abraham was justified before God, and he did become the father, and he's the spiritual father of all who are saved by the gospel, because they're saved the same way Abraham was justified. Only the grace of God can provide the justification that mankind needs. And this promise came by a system to Abraham because of his obedient faith. And the people of every nation flow unto it. Now we read here in the book of Hebrews how that therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. You see, at the time Isaac was born, after the normal time of Abraham becoming a father, and Sarah having been barren all of her life, she had passed the age of childbearing. But God was able to call into being that which did not then exist by his power, the same power that had brought the existence of the universe into reality. And then he says in of Abraham in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was counted to him for righteousness. Friend, Abraham believed God's promises, even though he had no heir at that time. He thought for a while that maybe God would fulfill his promises through his faithful servant Eliezer. But that was not the way that God was going to fulfill the promise. Abraham believed in the promises of God. He just didn't understand how in the world is that going to be, seeing the condition of Abraham and Sarah. And of course you will remember how Sarah was going to propose the idea that Abraham take Hagar, raise a child by Hagar, and maybe that child would be the seed of Abraham, through whom God would bless all the nations of the world. But that was not the way that God had determined that this salvation was to come. This salvation was to come through the seed of Abraham and of Sarah. But while Abraham didn't understand at the beginning how God was going to fulfill his promises, he didn't doubt for a moment that God would and was able to keep that which he had promised. Verse 23 tells us, now it was not written for his sake alone that he was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. All of this great and wonderful information that we have about Abraham and about Sarah, and later on about Isaac and Jacob, all of these things that are referred to back in the Old Testament, Paul says they're not recorded simply for their sake. You see, these things are not just to glorify these great and wonderful stalwart children and people of God. He said it was written for our benefit. We can know how God saves man as we look at the lives and the promises and the behavior and the attitude and the conviction and the faith of those who have lived before us. They were written and recorded for our benefit. And we acknowledge Christ, and we acknowledge how God raised Christ from the dead. And we depend upon Christ for our justification. And friend, certainly we all understand, do we not, that without Christ and without what he did on our behalf, there wouldn't be any gospel. There wouldn't be any system of faith. There wouldn't be any offer of grace. There would be no law of faith. And there would be no cleansing blood. There would be no forgiveness. There'd be no justification. There'd be no blessedness. There'd be no salvation. There wouldn't be any such thing as an eternal life with God. So thus far in the book of Romans, all these terms have been used at one time or another in the past to depict and to describe what Paul is emphasizing as the results to be gained by and through a system of obedient faith on the part of man, a system founded upon the merit of the blood of Christ that is given to us by the grace of God. And this is what God offers to man through his Son. And this is how it's offered. Paul stressed that it is offered to all men alike, Jew and Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, that is of no consequence whatsoever. So we can summarize what Paul is writing here in this chapter. We can already draw the conclusion that salvation from sin for man, it's obtained by and through God's grace, and the blessings being appropriated by man through an obedient faith, not earned, not merited. We can't boast about how we're saved. The entire system is based upon what God has done and the saving blood of Jesus Christ. It's a system then, and notice these, all of these components thus far that Paul has shown about this system. It's given to us by the grace of God, because God loves us, his mercy upon a sinful humanity, and by the sending of his Son to die on the cross to be the propitiation for our sins, that he might pay the penalty in our stead. He purchased us, he redeemed us, and he was buried and he was raised from the dead. And by that resurrection, he's declared to be the Son of God. And when we have faith in him, we put our faith and trust in him, and in the power of his cleansing blood, we will be dependent upon the Lord. When we obey him, we show our faith to be a saving faith. It is in this way that God saves mankind. That's the way he saves me. That's the way he saves you. That's the way he saved those even before Christ, in a system that involved God cooperating with man and man doing what he says he believes. Well, we're going to continue our study in the book of Romans, Lord willing, where we turn to chapter 5, where Paul begins by saying, we are justified by faith. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.